Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg, and I am blessed to sit in with Chris Williams and Milan Yurkovich today. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys.
And you are Larry Sonnenberg, the president of New Life Ministries.
Yes, I am.
Sitting in for Steve because he's not feeling well.
Yeah, he's a little under the weather, and we'll cover for him and get him back on tops. We got to have him. He does not have COVID. Don't worry. That's not the diagnosis. But we're hoping he'll be all set and ready to go with the BBBB. I know he'll be set and ready to go to that workshop on Saturday. But before we talk about some of that, I just wanted to give our audience an update on Dave Stoop. Had a discussion with his wife today, Jan, and Dave is still in a hospital. He was moved from one hospital to another that specializes in getting folks ready to go into rehab. And he's struggling. He's having a little bit of a tough time, and so Jan is too. But they're still hopeful. They're still encouraged by every card they get. By the way, if you want to send a card to Dave, send it to us at New Life, and we'll get it to mm-hmm. Dave. Mm-hmm. She was so grateful to hear some of the things that I got to report to her. You know, we had a Club New Life gathering the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and after Steve did a little talk, we asked for questions or testimonies, and the very first thing was, please give us a report on Dr. Stoop.
Mm. Oh, that's yeah. good.
And yeah. Jan's heart was really warmed when I told her that. So Dave's a great guy. Please keep him in prayer, and we'll pray for some healing so that he gets home again.
Soon.
Yes, soon. She's hoping by Christmas, so we'll see what happens. But the Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible, coming up this Saturday. So just remember, Steve Arterburn, Sheila Walsh, John Townsend, Henry Cloud, Dr. Daniel Amen. All those folks will be presenting. It's a workshop with the breakout groups. And please call us at 800-NEW-LIFE, and you can find out all about it, and you can sign up today. We had some good sign-ups over the weekend. And at the same time, on the same Saturday, we will be doing Every Man's Battle Workshop. So, guys, you know you need it, most of you. And women, you probably have husbands that need it. Please call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. Let us tell you about the details. It's an amazing workshop. Chris, you've worked at it. Tell our audience about it.
You know, there's this... Let me just say in context of what we're experiencing right now, and that is that I've seen the coping mechanisms, the negative coping mechanisms to get through COVID absolutely skyrocket.
Mm. Absolutely.
And so obviously when we look at...
Of all sorts.
Absolutely. Right. So if anyone struggled with pornography or sexually acting out before this... I mean, it's just on fire right now. And again, it creates a great internal suffering for the person who is experiencing it. But obviously, even if they're in denial, it creates great disconnection and suffering for people around it. This is your doorway to the next step. And it just takes one phone call and one day to begin the journey.
You know, the Apostle Paul said, I will not be mastered by anything. Hmm. And sexual addiction, pornography, masters people.
Yes.
And Larry, it's not just the husbands of wives. There are young men
yes.
who,
Amen.
Who yeah. are who are entering into adulthood who desperately need to have an education on what do they do with their sexuality.
Yes.
And so that's another important group of people to draw from.
So think about it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and don't let technology get in the way. Holy Spirit is not surprised by this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. That's Milan Jurkovic, Chris Williams, and myself, Larry Sonnenberg. We're going to take a call, but just before we do, you can watch this show right now on the New Life YouTube channel. You can subscribe and get all the great content there. Past New Life live shows, Going Deeper, Life Recovery Today, sermons, much more. So tune in and check it out. Let's speak with Sandra. Sandra's in Wilmington, Delaware, and she listens on our app. Thank you, Sandra. How can we help you?
Hello, Larry. Yeah. So I have met all three of you gentlemen, and you've all had an amazingly positive impact on my life and my husband's life. And in a way that makes me feel a little bit, and I'll be honest with you, a little bit embarrassed to call with this kind of a question, because I just feel like I should have it inside of me to take care of this. With that said, I've been struggling for a very long time with motivation. The willingness to do the things I have to do, the willingness to do the things that I want to do. And in a nutshell, I'm kind of good at self-reflection. I don't know if this would be true. I feel like it might be a combination of my age, the difficulties that I've gone through in life, touch of dysthymia, and a lack of structure. And in a lot of ways, I know the things that that I could possibly be doing to overcome this. So what I'm really looking for is how do I find the switch to make myself do the things that I need to do?
I'm guessing there's a lot of people, Chris and Milan, that are feeling that way through this COVID time too. So what do you say?
Well, I think it could be related to COVID, but I also think that this is something that can sneak up on anybody. Anybody can struggle with depression. Sandra mentioned dysthymia, and it's a low-grade type of chronic depression that is just plaguing, just lying and lurking, you know, in the shadows. But Sandra, how long would you have identified yourself as dysthymic?
Probably years. My husband and I did marriage counseling, and to be honest with you, it was New Life that pushed us into the positive column. But when we were doing that, sometimes I would take an independent session with the counselor, and he was the one who had suggested that. I believe there was some depression in my family, in particular in my mother, who is now gone. And she never really addressed it. I know that if it is that, I know that's a difficult one to overcome. It's, you know, with it you can function, but it's always just kind of like percolating underneath the surface.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. That's what I was suggesting earlier. I don't know that it's a function of age. I do think that it's a function of being worn down. And there are a lot of things as we get older, life takes a series of tolls upon us, and we realize we experience more losses, Sandra. And so have you ever been evaluated for depression, or have you ever been, dysthymia is a depression, have you ever taken any medication, Sandra?
I haven't, but my physical was a few months ago. At the tail end, I mentioned it to my doctor. She mentioned Wellbutrin, mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, because I knew I was making this call today, I called back in to the doctor, so I'm waiting to hear back from that. Do you know anything about Wellbutrin and if it plays into this?
I do. Wellbutrin There's two types of antidepressants that can be helpful, but Wellbutrin tends to be a little bit more of an energizer,
a boost. Yeah,
and it can lift you up. Some people respond well to Wellbutrin. Other people respond very well to SSRIs like Lexapro or Prozac or Zoloft, but they work on different systems, but I know people that take both Wellbutrin and Lexapro to elevate them, and I wouldn't hesitate to give yourself a chance to evaluate that. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, you know, obviously what we're looking at here, Sandra, and by the way, thank you for calling in, and thank you for saying this, because I would love to alleviate the embarrassment for you because of how many people are struggling with this, including myself, you know? And there's this really frustrating experience where it's like we, quote unquote, know better, but our bodies refuse to do better. And there's a gap in there, and that gap is energy. And so oftentimes what I look at when I'm working with people struggling with depression is what is ripping or stripping away the energy. And so oftentimes our unresolved traumas that create anxiety, just drains our energy almost like nothing else. And so we have to look at what are we anxious about? What are we frustrated about? There are certain emotions that will just use up energy and put us in psychological states. And so there's, I call it the deregression. We go from maybe life is disappointing, that if that lasts too long, then it becomes discouraging. And if that lasts too long, then it becomes despairing.
Right.
And once we get into the despair state, like life has just lost all of its luster and there isn't motivation or energy to do it. So what I want to really encourage you is make small movements. I wish there was a switch. There's just not. But there's, if we look at it as like a dimmer switch, and all we're trying to do is slowly move up that dimmer switch to turn the lights on a little bit more. So what we want to do is engage in activities and behaviors that are life-giving. And sometimes things that we don't want to do, but taking a walk, choosing a little bit, just a little bit better diet, but maybe I really encourage people to engage in creative activity. That really starts the motivation, seeing that we've produced something or been engaged with something, but re-engaging in life-giving activity is really important here.
And, you know, Chris, it's what comes in what order. Because there are times in my life where I've found myself more anxious or more depressed. And by taking an SSRI or Wellbutrin, something along those lines, I found that my energy began to build, and I had the capacity after I had done that. It was the first step. And all of a sudden, my creativity re-energized, my capacity to exercise re-energized. Everything turned into a different dynamic.
And I think that's a critical point there. Yeah.
So here's one more thing. The SSRI antidepressants like Prozac or Lexapro, what they do is they help enhance the serotonin levels in your brain. Now, God made serotonin, and it's supposed to be in there in certain proportions in terms of the chemistry mix of our brain, and it helps with neurotransmission, et cetera, and a lot of different things. But what happens is when we're in a chronically dysthymic mood or depressed mood, we don't have enough activities that create more serotonin.
Yes.
So we become depleted. And so often this can be the best first step.
Yep, absolutely. And the Wellbutrin is the SNRI, which is serotonin norepinephrine uptaken. So Wellbutrin gets us a little bit more energy from more sources in the neurotransmissions, which is an atypical antidepressant. It's getting too technical there, but I found that Wellbutrin for many people has been very effective, especially where a classic SSRI hasn't worked.
It can be. It really can.
Sandra, thank you for calling, and thank you for overcoming that sense of embarrassment or shame that you might have felt to make the call. But we're really glad you did. And you know, Chris, when you talked about doing something more, a little more, moving the dimmer switch up, I found in my own experience of being lethargic, maybe it's whatever that word was you said. It has helped me so much when somebody else, like my wife, would say to me, we got to go do this, or how about we do this, or how about we do that?
Yeah.
I won't do it on my own, but if so, it's mentioned from the outside. So I hope you can surround yourself with some folks or find some people to engage with that might help you with that. What should we send, and what book should we send her?
Let me think about that in a moment, and we'll come back to
all
that.
Right.
But let's.
All right, I'm going to go on to and talk with James on line three, and he's from Indianapolis, Indiana, and he listens on the internet. Hello, James.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and I so much appreciate your wisdom. My question is, how do my wife and I tell my 28-year-old son, who is finishing a 30-day alcohol rehab program this weekend, that he needs or will be required to go to a sober house, 90 meetings in 90 days. He thinks he's coming home, but we are not willing to do this. So how do we phrase this question? How do we keep our boundaries? Because it's not a healthy option for either him or us for him to come home. So I need help phrasing the question and really being firm and not enabling in this situation. Thank you.
Oh, James, first and foremost, just hearing your call and hearing your comments really encourages me. 30 days into recovery from any addiction, but especially substances, is just getting through the doorway. It's just beginning the process, because it takes about that long just to get through what we call the acute withdrawals. But then you have the emotional withdrawals, which is the post-acute, which can last up to a year. And so getting as much structure as possible to help, again, continue that recovery process as it becomes actually harder after 30 days, not easier. And that's where a lot of people make the mistake. Oh, 30 days, we're good to go. No, it's going to get actually more difficult to stay sober, and you need as much structure. So I just think that your approach to your son is coming from a place of genuine love. We love you. We want what's best for you. We are going to support what's best for you. We are a terrible treatment option for you. Coming home would actually be cruel in what we know. It may not make sense to you, and I understand that, but for us,
that
we...
does me.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. When you're talking to your son, it may not make sense to him. And so what we are going to support is the best next step, and we love you enough not to support anything less than the next best step, which includes vetting out a very strong intensive outpatient program with sober living.
Anything you would add?
Okay.
You know, James?
Yes.
You know about Nike shoes, right?
Well, yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, and what's their slogan?
90 days, 90 meetings?
It should be. That'd be great.
That would be very good. Work out for 90 days, you'll be in great shape. Their slogan is just do it. It's just do it. Now, here's the thing. I can tell you're hesitant about speaking truth to people. I can sense a hesitancy in your voice of not wanting to harm people, or not wanting people to think ill of you, or not wanting to upset them. But you have to just simply tell your son the truth. Son, you're not coming home. You're going to a 90-day sober living house. You're not coming home. And you have to just put it into its simple phraseology. And then, as is true with all people who speak truth, there's always going to be backlash. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you're asking us this question in hopes that if I say it in just a certain way, there will be no backlash. And that's impossible. Truth got Jesus crucified, you see. So truth isn't always going to yield some noble result of everything's going to feel warm and
I know
fuzzy.
You're winding up here, and just because we're 5 days before this happens, well, that's just the way it's got to be.
I would tell him right now, look, we've only had 30 days to think this through.
James, does your son have a Life Recovery Bible?
No, he doesn't.
Okay, let us send one to you, okay? I think that'll be helpful.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
And Larry, I know you don't like sending too, but also loving a person with substance abuse.
Okay, we can do that. Thank you, James. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to take another call, a couple of little housekeeping things here. If you want to be on with us, call us at 800-229-3000. Today is Cyber Monday. If you're shopping on Amazon and you go to smile.amazon.com, use that instead of amazon.com. Same product, same prices, but you designate New Life Ministries as your charity, and a small, tiny percentage of whatever you spend comes back to New Life. And it helps us a little bit financially. So thank you for that. All right, let's go to Karen. Karen is in Philadelphia. WFIL is the station. Karen, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, thank you. Just want to say I love your show. And if I've been to the New Life Marriage Intimacy Program. I'm a New Life Club member.
Thank you.
For those of you that are listening, this is a lifeline. If you can give, I know that's not why I'm on the phone, but if you can give, because it makes a difference. So my question.
Thank you, Karen, very much.
My son. Oh, you're welcome. It is a lifeline. I've sent people, I've sponsored people to go. One young lady went some years ago, and 2 months later she told me, had she not gone, she had already had her suicide plan.
Oh, so, wow.
You guys are truly a lifeline. Wow. So I just plead with people that if you can give, whatever you can give, give.
Thank you so much.
And so my challenge today is my son, he's 22, he's smoking weed, and I did get him to call one of your counselors, and he grew up in a home where we're believers. And I think my bigger challenge right now, not just the weed, is my husband and I are not on the same page. It's a serious problem to me, and my husband's like, let's just let it play out. And I don't know what to do, because I did get my son to agree. He called the counselor, and because he was coming from a place of biblical instructions, my son says, I'm not going. I'm not calling him back. So I'm not sure what to do. My heart's broken. Let me just say that. My heart is broken. You know, he just got his bachelor's. I will say that they say that my family, they say I'm controlling. I sent him years ago to New Life because when he was 16, I saw him looking at pornography. So when he turned 18, I sent him to New Life. So I made some decisions. So he said things like that. They call me controlling. I just don't feel like my husband and I are on the same page where we can help our son.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a twofold challenge here. One is with your son, the other is with your husband. And perhaps you need to be more controlling, quote unquote, because your husband appears to be a minimizer. And when mm-hmm. people minimize and dismiss and say, let it just work out, they're basically avoiding confrontation. They're avoiding influencing, or they're avoiding having to set boundaries, and they themselves are uncomfortable telling people no. And it'll probably show up in a lot of different areas, and that is a part of the challenge, and that's one of the reasons why you're not on the same page, and that's quite the challenge. But you have to decide what it is you want to do. It is not controlling for you to insist on something to be done that's right. And, you know, you're right to say your son, when he turns 18, needs to get some help for controlling pornography in his mind. So I really do want to encourage you to not allow that controlling handle that's been put above your head and kind of to define you, to keep you from saying what needs to be said and requiring that of your husband and your son, and setting a boundary to say, no, this must happen. These are my requirements as a mom and as a wife. So, and perhaps you and your husband need to go and get some help. And because I'm going to repeat this, but I'm going to guess that your husband's been dismissing and minimizing in other areas of his life. And that has been, in your marriage, a stressful point between the two of you. And that's something that needs to be worked on as well.
Absolutely. We are actually in counseling right now. And because my son didn't want to see this counselor, but the counselor, again, that I got from New Life is an addiction counselor. The counselor that we're seeing is a family life. He's not focused on addiction. Mm-hmm. And so what's supposed to happen, we're supposed to, as the three of us are supposed to speak with our counselor on Thursday. You're absolutely right. I've been kind of pushing myself back and not saying anything because I just feel like right now they're kind of ganging up on me.
Well, Karen, I think it's like if you're telling everyone what they should do and need to do, that's not a bad thing, but that message oftentimes is approached with defense. What I would encourage you to do on Thursday is talk about your fears, talk about your concerns, talk about how it affects you. It's a really risky move, but it's important because you're gaining your power back by saying, hey, I need your empathy here, and I need you to understand how serious I'm taking this because this is my concern and these are my fears. And by you opening up that conversation, you're inviting connection that sort of takes precedence over the narrative that you're always controlling.
Karen, thank you. Thank you for calling. It's a tough spot. I think you got some good counsel here that'll help you. We'll send you understanding and loving a person with addiction that just might help you understand your son a little bit. And then we'll come back and take some more calls right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Before we go to our next caller, I wanted to play have Terry put up a testimony. We had a gathering with Club New Life online Sunday before Thanksgiving, and this lady gave a little bit of a testimony about what New Life meant to her. So let's hear that, Terry.
I am so glad that I was able to join today, and I'm very emotional right now because I heard of New Life Ministry back in 2012 when I was going through a separation. I came from a Hindu background, and I don't know how I turned on New Life, but somehow I got to New Life, and I heard Steve. And from that day on, I listened to y'all 5 days a week. I became a member about 3 years ago. Your ministry has helped me tremendously. I became a believer, the only one in my family. I went through the divorce. I have 2 sons. They're not there yet. And Steve and David Stoop have helped me with my younger son because he was doing drugs and I didn't know what to do. And I listened to New Life Ministries, and I remember David Stoop's story about his son, mm-hmm. and the boundaries It was very difficult, but I follow what you all said to do. Now today, my son, my younger son, we reconcile. He's no longer doing drugs. He's working. Mm. My prayer is that they will be a believer in Jesus Christ. Because I came from a Hindu background, and my ex is a Muslim. But I know there is no other way but Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And your ministry, I pass on to others. Because if I had not listened to your ministry and the counseling I receive, I wouldn't be able to afford to go to counseling. I don't think I would be here today.
Mm. Wow. Well, that was impactful then, is impactful again now.
Wow. And, that's beautiful.
I want to encourage you folks, if you can support a ministry, you know, it just dawned on me, Karen in an earlier call said that she was talking with a lady where, had she not experienced New Life, she wouldn't be here, that it was a suicide prevention.
Right.
New Life was. And this lady said the same thing, pretty much. So if you can support something like that, we have a matching gift going right now. You make a gift of any size until we reach $200,000, and your gift will be matched. You think you're given $20, you'll be given $40. You think you're given $100, you'll be given $200. So thank you for that. We can use your support very well to keep this ministry going like we do. I want to go and talk with Amy. Amy's on line 4. She listens on The Word, KWRD, Dallas, Texas. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Hi, how can we help you?
Yes, I had a question about someone that I've been getting to know for the last 3 or 4 months who said that he has been to every man's battle but has never been able to perfect, not at some point going back and looking at nude pictures, but never considered himself an addict. And do I have unrealistic expectations to think that he could promise me fidelity in that area?
Amy, can I turn this in a little bit different direction than, you know?
Yes.
When you hear that news, what happens inside of you? When you hear that he can't quite control this, well, yeah, what goes on in you?
Well, I've never had anyone admit that, and I've never dealt with this before.
Oh, okay, but
my initial response was, when you have sobriety for a while, then you could call me.
Okay, so let me try to ask. Let me try to ask the question again, because I think this is really important for you. When you think about his struggle, how does it make you feel? What comes up for you?
A little scary.
Okay, good. Stay with the fear. What does that fear say to you?
It says to me that it made me feel unsafe.
Uh-huh. Okay, and the reason I go here, Amy, is because I want you to be able to trust what you need in a relationship. I want you to be able to talk about what concerns you and what fears come up for you. So you're looking for him to make a promise I would not want him to make in the first place, to be really honest.
And that's what he told me.
Yeah, what I would want him to do is, like, if he's struggling with it, to be honest and to talk about exactly what he's doing, for him to have a clear understanding of why he does it, and to check in with you to see if that works for you or not. And if it doesn't, then you move on to the next person.
Ask him all that.
He did say all of that almost verbatim. And he has an accountability person. And he has even, in churches, started programs for other men that wanted to come on board.
But what I'm saying is this. I'm jumping in here. The other aspect of that is what's not being talked about is what is going on the inside. And this is what I think is really important. We, you know, when we stay on the what I call the behavior modification, we don't get to that deeper level of safety that you actually need in this relationship. And when you said, I feel mm-hmm. scared and I feel unsafe, mm-hmm. I want you to know that mm-hmm. that is a big, big deal. If we don't feel safe in relationship, it won't be anything else.
Okay.
Amy, I want you to ask him, this coming Saturday we have a workshop. We invite all of the alumni to come and sit in on it without actually attending all the groups and such. If he has not received an invitation, which he should have, every alumnus should have received one, tell him to call our 800 number and say, I want to be at Brothers in the Battle this weekend. That's what we call the alumni, Brothers in the Battle. He can come. It gives him a refresher. He gets to sit through the whole workshop, and it's easy. I think if he's in Sustained Victory, it won't cost him a penny. If he hasn't joined the Sustained Victory, we'll ask him to pay $50. But he'll sit through the entire workshop, and we hit very hard what Chris was just talking about. What's on his inside that's causing him to turn to this for his comfort? And,
he said it's when he's alone. He's
sure.
been a widow for 3 years, and he hasn't dated or anything. Mm-hmm. Because I asked him, why didn't you work on this before you decided to start dating?
Well, it's a step beyond just being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Being alone may trigger that.
Oh.
But there's something underneath why he doesn't want to be alone and what he should do. And so we can help him with that. Just ask him to please go to Brothers in the Battle on Saturday.
I will.
Okay, and to call us and register.
And I also said that I feel like if you look at a picture really quick, it's the same thing as cheating on someone in a relationship for me.
Mm-hmm. You're, okay. Right, you're absolutely right.
Am I being unfair?
No. No, you're not.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay. Well, Amy, we're going to send you Take Your Life Back and think that'll help you. I think if he was at that workshop and has done some work, he knows how valuable it will mm-hmm. be to sit in on this again. And I just can't encourage enough for him to do that.
Absolutely. Amy, if when he's alone, and this is when he acts out, and he's been a widower for 3 years, what does aloneness do to him?
Mm-hmm.
You see, what does he feel when he's alone? And for a lot of people, they feel a sense of panic. They could feel a sense of tremendous depression, anxiety. And often that is when people act out. And so what's important for you to, if you want to love him as and care for him as a friend, have him talk about, as Chris did with you, what are the feelings he feels when he's alone? And a lot of people do not like being alone, and a lot of people really get panicky when they're all by themselves. And so it's important to really help him understand that. It's more about, as Chris really said, this is really important, it's more about what's going on underneath behavior mm-hmm. in him and you. And that's where the battle really is.
But you were right to have a flag go up in your spirit to say mm-hmm. something's not right. And really appreciate you calling us. And we will send that book off to you. Now, I was just reminded at the break that if you're going to go to Amazon, smile.amazon.com, and you choose New Life Ministries as your charity, please make sure it's the New Life Ministries in Lake Forest. Look for the logo that has the little green tree with the brain in the middle so you designate the proper New Life Ministries. We'll be back for one more call right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to take another call, but before I do that, I just want to remind everybody, Saturday, two workshops going on, Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible, with Dr. Amen, John Townsend, Henry Cloud, Steve Arterburn, Sheila Walsh, and hopefully you'll be in that too. Just give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE, and they'll sign you up. Okay, and the other workshop is Every Man's Battle, and that is a great workshop for anybody who's having struggles. And it's not always a mass invasion that's controlled your entire life and your marriage is over, but it might be just a simple struggle. It could be either or. So call us at 800-NEW-LIFE and find out and get registered for either one of those. Okay, let's talk to Lydia. Lydia's a wave a caller. We always have one wave a caller, it seems, every day. Arlington, Virginia. Hello, Lydia. How can we help you?
Hello. What's the best approach you would recommend in a situation where I have one sibling, a sister, and she's older than me, and I feel entrapped because she'll call me to speak with me, and within a few minutes or so, she'll complain that she has to go because she's hungry and she's tired and she's in a car and it's raining and it's cold, and this is persistent, and she has her own house, she has her own income, she's in a city 5 hours away, but she's the one that initiates the call to me, and I said, well, okay, you know, we can end this call, that's fine, and call another time, and then she will continue talking. And then I said, well, I thought you wanted to end the call, and she won't stop many times, and then I'll have to just say I'm going to hang up on the count of five, and then I count down and I hang up. But she continues to complain as if I am taking her time when she initiates the call to me. And I feel like she just has a lot of negative energy to dump on somebody. I don't know. And she's my only sibling, and she, so I'm not sure, you know, what to do. I want to be a kind sister, but this is repeated many, many times.
Yeah, these are, let's be honest, these are strange interactions that we have. And so, you know, I think that there is those situations where a person will need the connection and talk and talk and talk and talk. But also, what I guess is going underneath the surface with your sister is she's also insecure about it as well. So she has a need but still wants to be in control. And so I'm going to control by saying, hey, I need to get off, but then continue on and sort of hijack or overtake the entire conversation. And so it just tells me that she has a lot of relational anxiety underneath her. And also she has fallen into a victimhood trap where she learns to connect through that which is wrong with her, but she doesn't have the awareness to understand how much that can drain other people when we just remain stuck in our problems without moving forward in any solution. And so, Lydia, this may be really difficult, but first off, I want you to settle in your mind and most importantly in your heart that you are a good, loving sister.
Okay.
Now, your sister does not get to determine whether you are a good, loving sister. You get to determine that. Okay? Because the fear is that, like, if I then take control of the conversations, or if I have to cut it off, or I have to go, or if I have to hang up, that somehow I'm being unloving or unkind. No, you're living your life. You're a person with boundaries. You're a person with value. You're a person that has things to do. And so that doesn't make you bad. And the other aspect of this is that I don't think it's bad or wrong. In fact, I think it's really good to ask that your sister address the problems that she's struggling with, i.e. get into counseling.
I have.
Yeah. Well, and
actually,
let her know. And let me just finish off with this. And so if there is a topic that she circles the mountain on over and over and over again, you can let her know, I don't want to talk about this any longer until you specifically get into counseling to address this issue.
And I don't.
I have told her that, and she breaks her promise all the time. And For the variety of challenges she has in her life, I have mailed her information and even discounted professional service providers for a variety of topics, and I have even provided, you know, people who have used these experiences before as references she can call and talk to about it.
But there's one thing missing. Can I tell you what's missing, Lydia?
Sure.
You keep answering the phone and talking to her about it.
Lydia, I have another alternative. I know somebody
I'm
very...
I'm not supposed to answer her the phone.
I'll change your phone number, yeah. I have a friend.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm her sister.
Just kidding.
I thought you call a loving sister.
I have a friend that deals with this. Same, very similar situation. And the most success that she's had is she talks about other things. Mm-hmm. She changes the subject. She talks
you
about other things that are, well, you can take control of that. You're
well,
letting her I take control of the conversation. You ask her a question. Ask her about the weather. Ask her about politics. Ask her about her faith. Ask her about a song. Ask her about a memory. There's so many things you can do.
I don't want to talk about that.
Well, then say goodbye.
So, Lydia, what disability or retirement disability has caused her to be retired?
2013, she had a radical mastectomy because of breast cancer, and she still has lingering neuropathy. And she has a variety of allergies, gluten intolerance, and she's dealing with a lot of like homeopathic types of holistic.
Okay, so Lydia,
since she's allergic to polyester and anything.
Okay,
with polyester.
So Lydia, our show is drawing to an end here. Has your sister ever experienced trauma besides the double mastectomy?
No, it's a single mastectomy.
Okay, the single mastectomy.
I don't know.
So really, I would want to know what is the emotional state of your sister when she calls you. I have a feeling your sister is very distraught and just needs, as you said, she just needs to dump or vent. But I would talk to her about her emotions. I'll talk to you if you tell me what feeling you're feeling right now. And I bet you're feeling anxious and lonely. And I want you to tell me, and I would send her a feelings word list, and I would require a feeling word. And if she won't give you one, then you can dictate that I'm not going to talk to you until you do. And that's the loving thing to do, is to not let her dominate, as the other two guys have already said. But I would really want to know, what is her emotional state when she calls you? I think she's probably very desperate and very anxious. And that is probably one of the reasons why she just calls and vents. Okay, our time is almost up,
yeah,
Larry.
Lydia, we're going to send you boundaries, and hopefully that'll help with your sister. Ivan, you have a scripture you want to...
You know, in Romans 12:1-2, it tells us to do a couple of things. It says, present your body as a living sacrifice to do what God wants. We have to find out what God's will is for our life. Number two, it says, be not conformed to the world. Sometimes the world that conforms us is our history that trained us. And then when we do those two things, the Bible says God will then transform our mind. And He's the one that does that.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Amen. It's that
easy. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.